Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and today we are highlighting some of our conversations with musicians recently nominated for the 20th Annual Americana Honors and Awards. Up now, some music from Artist of the Year nominee, Margo Price.
Haven't been avoiding you, hardly ever around. Sure we could talk, but what would I say? Behind my back, that's how rumors get started.
If that track from country singer Margo Price reminded you a bit of Fleetwood Mac, well, that's not just a happy accident. That song is called That's How Rumors Get Started, off of Margo's album of the same name, Rumors. Get it? It's an expanded sound for Margo, a sound that's a little more California than Nashville, a little more rock and roll than strict country. That's How Rumors Get Started was recorded at a period of transition for Margo. She was pregnant at the time, fresh off the success of her album All American Made and a Grammy nomination for Best New Artist. She was juggling fame and a grueling tour schedule. She departed from her record label to join up with Loma Vista Recordings and found a new co-producer in friend, Sturgill Simpson. But fans of Margo's previous albums will still find plenty of the musician's signature style here, with personal lyrics and unabashed political statements, singing stories of love and heartbreak and towns being boarded up. Margo Price joined me last year, and I asked her what she set out to do differently on this record.
I wanted to capture more of how I sing and perform live. And, you know, I love my first two albums. They're really dear to my heart. But, you know, the first album, we recorded it in 3 days. And then the second album, I did it in, like, you know, 12 days, the main tracks. And, you know, worked on it for several weeks. But being that I was pregnant this time and I wasn't on the road quite as much, I just spent an incredible amount of time in the studio getting the vocals right and, you know, just really taking my time with it. And I wanted to veer away from the, you know, outlaw country, psychedelic country thing that I was doing. And that's just because, you know, I made a couple records like that, and I grew up also on equal parts rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see a lot of people occupying that space, so I thought I'm going to make like a classic rock record.
So what was the result of you being able to take your time on this album?
I just think that it, you know, when I listen to it, I'm more pleased with the way that everything sounds. And you know, we added a ton of harmonies, my friend Ashley Wilcoxon and I, and then I brought in the Nashville Friends Gospel Choir, and you know, they kind of made it, just really took it to another level. And I always loved, you know, when the Rolling Stones would have, you know, like Mary Clayton singing background mm-hmm. vocals and just like adding soul and into the rock. So I feel really pleased with how it turned out. And I really can't wait to do another one, because there's no touring happening. So I might as well just get back in the studio and start again.
My guest is Margo Price. Her new album is called That's How Rumors Get Started. Ben Montench plays on the record, and he's just a legend. He's, you know, when you're working with really these super experienced folks, these folks who've been around and seen it all twice, what is it you get from an experience like that that's useful, aside from their skill as a musician?
Well, it was such a thrill to be in there with Ben Montench, and, you know, from the Heartbreakers, and James Gadson was on the drums, and he's worked with, you know, Bill Withers and Aretha Franklin, and They really all serve the song so well. And, you know, I think I will definitely, you know, make more records with my band down the road. And I do love, like, things that are ragged around the edges. But this was such a good experience for me. And I think that the lessons learned will come back later in life, just being around them.
Let's take a listen to another track. What's the song Letting Me Down about?
Well, Letting Me Down was kind of about a couple of teenage runaways that were stuck in middle America and, you know, just living paycheck to paycheck and the dream of getting out. And it really could have been my life, you know, had I not chosen to leave, and really gotten lucky in a lot of ways.
Here's Letting Me Down from Margo Price.
They don't make them like you no more. Mama's working at the liquor store. We don't talk about it anymore. And you don't come around. Everybody's lonely. Oh, babe, just look around. You gotta wait. You gotta wait. Letting me down.
That's Letting Me Down. That chorus of You Got Away, You Got Away. And you just said you felt like you were lucky that you got away. Well, why do you say that?
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of the double meaning where it's like you have a way of doing something and you also got away, like you escaped.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, my town was very small and I saw a lot of people kind of getting stuck there. And when I left town, I, you know, only had a couple hundred bucks in my pocket and just came to Nashville and didn't really know anybody and started waiting tables and playing out in bars and open mics. And it took me 10 years to get my start. And people would always ask me, you know, when are you moving back? Are you, you know, obviously things aren't working out for you. And I would have rather, you know, died trying than went back to be in a place that, you know, just didn't inspire me. And you know, there still is a beautiful solitude about where I'm from, but it's just a lot of farmland that has been taken over by corporate farms. And, you know, I just see a lot of people getting stuck doing things that they don't want to do for a living.
My guest is Margo Price. The name of her new album is That's How Rumors Get Started. So you were pregnant with your daughter Ramona when you were working on this album, and in a diary you did for Vogue magazine, you wrote, quote, "There are so many similarities between the creation process of an album and the cycle of childbirth." What are some of those similarities?
I think, you know, when you're making music and you're in the process of recording an entire album of all your own ideas and your own lyrics and songs, it's, you know, it's so personal, and you kind of don't share it with anybody at first. It's like each song is your child, and you spend so much time nurturing them and working on them. And, you know, I did kind of feel this similar feeling that I get every time I release an album, where it's like it's all the build up, and, you know, you're working on the lyrics and spending time on each track and the artwork, and then you put it out and it's like, okay, well, what now, you know? You know, normally I would go tour, and it's like you would nurture the album with touring and, you know, doing meet and greets with the fans and playing the songs. But we're in such a such different times right now. It's, you know, hard to know what's next. So at least I get to talk to people like you and, you know, kind of visit each town virtually or over the radio waves.
Well, there is that thing also after you have a baby and they give it to you and they're like, go home. And you're like, really? With this? What do I do now? You just walk out the door with this?
Yeah. There's no manual, and it's just crazy because there's a lot of things people don't tell you, you know, when you're pregnant and you're having a baby. And then if you would have known, you probably never would have had a baby, because It's no easy task.
I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Margo Price about her new album, That's How Rumors Get Started. We'll listen to more of the album after break. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and my guest this hour is Margo Price. Her new album is called That's How Rumors Get Started. So the album deals with love and relationships and heartbreak, and there's a song called Stone Me, which is partially about your husband and a fight you guys were having. What's the backstory of this song?
Yeah, I was gone on the road so much after my first album in 2016, and it was really hard on our relationship. We went through a lot. There were times when I didn't know if it was going to keep happening, and we've been together for 16 years. But we had a fight, and I wrote a couple verses about him, and then I sent it to him, and I texted it to him, and I was like, I just wrote these lyrics. And then he sent back a melody to the mean lyrics that were about him and helped me finish co-writing. So that's the kind of like level that we're at. We're just blatantly truthful, and there's no secrets.
Well, this is Stone Me from Margo Price. A sort of work marriage divide, especially when you're writing songs about the less than fairy tale parts of your marriage?
No, it's as time has went on, I think in prior songs earlier on in our relationships, maybe we would lie to the other one if there was something that was said that wasn't very flattering, but at this point it's pretty easy to tell what someone's talking about. But my husband's written songs about his ex-wife, and then he'll show them to me, and we are just completely open as far as all that goes. And he usually writes really nice songs about me, and I usually write kind of mean songs about him, but I love him. I'm a little more hot-headed than he is.
My guest is Margo Price. Her new album is called That's How Rumors Get Started. Your friend and your fellow recording artist, Sturgill Simpson, helped you produce this album. What's a piece of insight he gave you while you were working on this record that maybe you hadn't really realized about your work or about making music?
I had a really great time in the studio with him and David Ferguson. And they just, we all listen to each other, and the thing that Sturgill really helped me with this time was getting the live kind of vocal that I really wanted. And one thing that we did was after we recorded the tracks and I went back and did my vocals, we took the headphones off and I just sang in the room like I was on stage. And it's pretty freeing to not have headphones on. I mean, you know how they are working in radio. I know you've used them, but that was a big piece of the pie for me. So as I've been in the studio with other people, I've suggested it, and it seems to be a trick that works pretty well.
Let's talk about politics for a minute. Since you, I feel like you're okay with that, from what I know and what I've heard on your records. are writing, do you? And this might sound like a really obvious question. Hi, pup.
Yeah, there we go. Working at home.
Do you incorporate politics into your music, sort of deliberately, or is it like the political situation that makes you sit down and just get it out?
I think it's just by taking everything in the world right now, and you know, you can't help but be affected by what you see. And you know, I never want to say that these are political songs, but they're songs about humanity, and whether it's my life or, you know, injustices I'm seeing played out in the world, and Lord knows how many there are right now. I think, you know, as artists and musicians, you're a little more sympathetic to those things. And I've definitely turned people off, though, by, you know, saying what's on my mind. And sure, I have thinned the herd that is my fan base, but it's, you know, I gotta look myself in the mirror. You know, I think I see a lot of people, especially that, you know, got their start in country music or, you know, are still here, and they didn't want to speak out about Trump. They didn't want to speak out about gun control, about, you know, abortion rights. And they certainly aren't doing it for Black Lives Matter. What people put up a black square and then think that their work is done. But we have so much work to do right now. And I'm happy to use my platform to maybe just try to encourage people to vote and be compassionate.
Well, how do you feel about performing in a genre of music that a lot of the fans might not agree with your politics?
Well, I never was really accepted into the mainstream Nashville machine, if you will. You know, I was signed to Jack White's label, and Third Man Records gave me a home when, you know, nobody else in town would. And so I kind of started with like these rock and roll fans that had never really were that into country. And, you know, on this record, I thought, of course I want to be able to sonically expand and, you know, just occupy a different space, especially because those connotations are in country music. It can be a turnoff for me. And of course I'm, you know, I love, you know, Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, and, you know, I love Loretta Lynn, and she was someone who was very outspoken about women's rights and the pill, and, you know, she got banned from the radio, but she was a trailblazer, and now people, you know, they only think country music when they see Loretta Lynn. We have a lot of work to do, but, you know, I also just am happy to say that I do not belong to the organizations that I think are sexist and misogynistic and, you know, racist and so on.
On your album, let's play a song that talks a little bit about the pitfalls of success and fame. This one is called Twinkle Twinkle. When you think about this, you know, it's about obviously what happens when you just get thrust into the spotlight. What is something you would go back and tell yourself about that experience?
I would. There's a lot of things that I would tell myself. I would tell myself not to trust everybody that says they want to help you. Don't sign any contracts without reading everything. you know, I think the biggest thing is to not be hurt at the things that people are going to say to you. And it took me a long time to be able to do that. And, you know, back in 2016, when I was first kind of being blasted out on the internet, you know, people would say things about my looks or, you know, my voice, anything. And I, at this point, I do not let it get to me. I've had so many terrible things said. I just let it roll off my back.
Mm-hmm. This has got nothing to do with music or your album, but I want to know about that big old deer tattoo on your leg.
Oh, the tattoo on my leg. Yeah, that was, that happened kind of during an early midlife crisis of getting lots of tattoos. And I told my husband that I was going to the bank and I'd be right back. And this was around, like, I don't know, 10 in the morning or something. And I went to get this tattoo because our rock and roll band had broke up. This was before I made my country record. And I had this band and it was called Buffalo Clover. And so I got this giant buffalo skull, and I joke that it's called Buffalo Over because that was the end. It was my homage to the band.
That was my conversation with Margot Price, nominee for Artist of the Year at the 20th Annual Americana Honors and Awards.